Attorney Karen Conti joins us. The Supreme Court has been busy. They made a new ruling about the student athletes. We were talking about this and just trying to put it in perspective, Karen, what it actually means for student athletes. This isn't like the full deal, I don't think, of what they could have ruled on, but it gives them certain rights now.
Right, Anna. You know, it's just one in the course of maybe future cases that are going to chip away, in my view, at the idea that college athletes are not professionals. I mean, we all know that it's a multi-billion-dollar industry, and some of these athletes are living under poverty levels. So this decision is very narrow, though. It basically says that the NCAA cannot ban students from getting things like laptops or postgraduate scholarships or paid internships. So these kind of educational type benefits can be given to the students, and if the NCAA bans those kinds of payments and those kinds of perks, that is a violation of the antitrust laws. So it does uphold the college athletes' rights in that regard.
Okay, but how far can it go? I just wonder what it says education-related rights. And I wonder what could be allowed under that umbrella. Will there be restrictions? Is that up to the individual schools to decide? Because this is a competitive world, right? Everybody's trying to go after a lot of the same key athletes. And that's been the complaint all along, that people are doing it on the side anyway. They're offering them stuff that's not legal. Now you're going to say, okay, education related is okay, but what is okay?
Well, we don't know. And then, you know, the Supreme Court can only decide the narrow issue right in front of them. They can't go on to say other things. But what was interesting about this opinion, Brett Kavanaugh and some of the other justices seem to be saying, you know, that it's unprecedented that workers in the United States are not compensated. And these college athletes are certainly workers, and they're part of a big profit center. And I think what's going to happen is that there are going to be more and more challenges, and we're going to get to the point where the final issue before the Supreme Court is going to be, can the NCAA say that college athletes cannot be compensated? And I think that exact challenge is going to be heard by the court, and the court's going to have to decide, are these athletes subject to the regular laws, and is the NCAA basically an antitrust violation?
It's so interesting because you're right. I was reading some of the Neil Gorsuch's opinion here, and he talked about how these are really big profit centers, billions of dollars. You pay coaches and millions of dollars, and then at the bottom of the ladder here, you've got the athletes who are able to make no dollars. And he says he compares it to just other business models. The NCAA's business model would be flatly illegal in almost any other industry in America. All of the restaurants in a region cannot come together to cut cooks' wages. The law firms can't conspire to cabin lawyers' salaries. Hospitals can't cap nurses' income. He goes through news organizations can't do this either. And he goes through, you know, industry by industry. Why should they be able to do this, make money off their athletes and not pay them? You're right. It sort of opens up the door there to say at some point they're going to be potentially actual pay to play school football or whatever.
I think that's where we're going. I think that's exactly where we're going. Now, you know, what's the other side of that? There's certainly another side of that, and you don't want colleges to be in a bidding war with all of these student athletes, and then what is the cost of paying them, and are they going to be, you know, taking money away from the school? I don't think we're there yet, and there probably should be some limits. There probably will be some limits. But again, you're absolutely right. Justice Kavanaugh went on to say, you know what? You can't not pay a fair rate. And not only is it not a fair rate, there's no rate. They're not compensated at all. And you hear the stories about these kids being hungry and living in their cars. And remember, the vast majority of these college athletes do not go on and make money in that sport. And a lot of them get injured along the way and can't go into athletics. So it's not like this benefit of giving them a college degree or access to a college degree is any great shakes, in my view.
Yeah, it's interesting. We're going to have Cam Buckner on the show, the state rep. I know he's been on your show as well,
yes.
Karen. Fascinating story because he played football at U of I. He was one of the lead sponsors of some of these, allowing some of these rights here statewide. And I know so many states are making these moves, which is sort of forcing the court's hand in some ways to say, hey, maybe we need a federal law here. But, you know, his own experience was with a friend who he played ball with, a star player, walking into a store where they were selling his jersey on campus. And the amount of the jersey with his name on it was more than he had in his pocket or to his name at that moment. And it struck him at that time that this isn't fair.
Well, and it's right. And so this is the use of likeness, which is a slightly separate issue.
Right.
But think about it. If you're an art major and you're selling your art online, there's no reason you can't do that. Or if you're a music major and you're giving music lessons for money to earn money to pay for your tuition, no one stops you from doing that. But if you're a college athlete and you're working out 6 hours a day and making billions of dollars for the NCAA, you can't use your own likeness. You can't even use your own name to make money. That doesn't seem fair whatsoever.
No, it doesn't. And it is sort of like the chipping away of what you talk about, just sort of there's all these different angles, and at some point there's going to be maybe even further rulings, if not something even broader than what we've just seen. It'll be interesting. Before I let you go, and I know you got to run for a Zoom call, but your Zoom cord, is it? Is that what you got?
It's Zoom cord.
I don't want you to be late.
It sounds like more fun, doesn't it? Than going, oh, I'm in Zoom cord.
Woo, I've seen some of those Zoom cords. Sometimes they're kind of fun. Hey, I do want to ask you about this Justice Department situation. It made a lot of headlines. I don't quite understand it. Crack versus cocaine. We've heard about the disparities, about how they're treated in the eyes of the law. This is a new sort of thing, an issue, a memo from the Justice Department. What does it mean? What's happening?
Well, the Supreme Court came down against giving a criminal defendant a break on this, but it's a real technical argument. But the bigger issue is, yes, that's absolutely true, that if you have the same amount of grams of crack versus grams of powder, you are sentenced wildly differently. And 87% of all crack convictions are people of color, so it really does have a racial overtone. And I think what Biden is going to do is he's going to have some sort of federal law that might be retroactive to some of these sentences, to say that if you're convicted in this year of this, then your retroactivity is going to lessen your sentence, or at least even them up so that crack and regular cocaine are sentenced the same way.
Thank you, Karen. Karen Conti, just before the news break there, she was basically weighing in on the legal side of what the Supreme Court just decided in regards to the student athlete rules. A unanimous ruling, the U.S. Supreme Court rules against the NCAA. This is not the end of amateurism, but it chips away at core aspects and sets precedent that the NCAA is not special and is subject to normal applications of federal antitrust law. Interesting, because the athletes didn't seek to throw out all of the amateurism stuff, all the rules regarding that. They sought out a few restrictions on specific educational benefits. So basically, new education-related perks can be offered to athletes. Now, locally, or statewide, I should say, there is a law we've been talking about a lot about athletes getting to profit off of, make money off of their own names. And the co-sponsor of that bill was State Rep Cam Buckner, who's joining the show now. Thank you, Representative. Thanks for coming back on the show with me. Appreciate it.
Good afternoon, Anna. How are you?
I'm okay. So this, can you respond to what happened at the Supreme Court level first? I want to kind of get your take on that, kind of figure out where you think it's going.
Yeah, what happened yesterday at the Supreme Court was really a seismic shift in the way that we look at college sports, the landscape, and really was a heavy blow to the NCAA's business model. As you said, the opinion that came down that was written by Justice Gorsuch really was very narrowly tailored. It talked about making sure that there was no cap on educational compensation, right? So we look at this as being things like laptops or study abroad programs or paid internships. And Justice Gorsuch was very clear that this was specifically about education and education only. But his friend, Justice Kavanaugh, on his concurring opinion, went a little bit further and said, wow, this is specifically about this. This will also possibly create some liabilities and some more action when it comes to compensation, period, of players, compensation for what they do on the field or on the basketball court or on the track. And so this is, I think, big for many folks, and those who are legal minds like Karen, I'm sure, mm-hmm. will talk about the way that these opinions were written. Would make Theodore Roosevelt very proud, because they're very antitrust and very strong on that entity, right? And so I'm surprised that it happened this quickly. I'm surprised that it was aggressive as it was. I'm surprised that there was a unanimous decision, which we don't see a lot.
No.
And so I think the writing is on the wall for the NCAA.
Yeah, so I do want to ask you where it's going, but first I just want to get a little clarification. When you say education related, I mean, let's just think about college sports and recruitment and how aggressive that can be and some of the, maybe the violations that have been cited over the years. This kind of brings things a little more above board, but what qualifies and who polices it, what an education related expense is in the aggressive world of recruiting and keeping top college athletes?
Absolutely. And I think that that is the portion that still remains to be seen. What does that look like in a practical application sense? I spoke with somebody today and they said, well, if I need Gucci glasses to read my books.
Because I do, by the way. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Of course.
Right? I would like those.
So I don't know exactly how that part is going to be regulated or policed. Obviously, the NCAA and the conferences and the schools have to play a role in what the application looks like. But there are some questions that still remain there.
Yeah, because there's like the Lamborghini rule. Didn't that come up? That they say, can you get a kid a Lamborghini? Does that qualify if it gets him to class or gets him from practice to class? Is that okay?
Right. Well, listen, we all have seen folks get real creative with language. Specifically, some folks do with their taxes on what's an expense and what's not, right? And so I hope we're not opening up the door for more nefarious behavior from outside folks like boosters and people who are alums of schools who may be trying to slip this person or this young man or this young woman extra money. But if the university is the one who is providing this, hopefully this is done above board and hopefully we have a rubric and some measures by which we have to follow.
Yeah, I want to ask you about your personal experience, because I think you being a co-sponsor of this is significant, of this bill here in Illinois, not the Supreme Court one. Obviously, we're talking about the rules about using your likeness and your name and being able to profit off that. We've talked about that before. I came across an interesting story. I want to ask you if this is true, that when you were a player at U of I, a football player, you were with one of the prominent players on the team, saw his jersey in a store and thought he could barely even afford to buy his own jersey. It was sort of a moment that made you think.
Yeah, it is a true story, and that's true. When I got to Champaign after leaving the South Side of Chicago, I was just extremely excited and elated to be able to go to school for free, to play football. My parents still didn't believe that somebody would pay you to go to school because you could tackle people. My mom was just like, "This is a trick. It's not real." And so all of it, as I soaked all that in, I was just really happy to be there. And I thought that the education and the room and the board and the tuition was enough. But then when I got a little older and I saw all the money that was involved in this, and I say, well, this is there's a problem here, right? There's a problem with here, and this is very antithetical to capitalism, to the free market, because the folks who are working aren't involved in the largesse. And yes, I was at a mall in Champaign with a teammate of mine who ended up having a long and successful NFL career, and his jersey was on sale in the Foot Locker for about $50 or $60, and he did not have that much money in his pocket. And he looked at me and said, I can't even afford to pay for my own jersey, which to me painted the picture for me and really changed my mind on some of this stuff.
Yeah, I hear you. And there are so many applications of what you passed in Illinois that aren't even for the star athletes. It's for the folks who want to run a volleyball camp in the summertime. Right. They couldn't until now. If you were a standout volleyball player, you couldn't go and have a camp for kids and make a little money, charge $10 a head or whatever it is. That wasn't even allowed. So it opened the gates to a lot of that, which will actually probably apply to a lot more athletes than just the stars. It's a big deal. Can I ask you... we got to pause here, Representative Buckner, but when we get back, I want to ask you this, because you just mentioned, as your mom pointed out, they pay your way to go to school. Now they're going to pay for education-related perks and things like that, like laptops. We already have some listeners asking, should you get paid on top of it? Should the student-athletes get paid? Are we going there? Karen Conti seemed to say that's where it seems to be leading. I want to ask you if you agree with that, coming up here just a second. Our conversation continues with State Rep. Cam Buckner in just a moment. Our guest is State Rep. Cam Buckner, who was one of the co-sponsors of the state bill that allowed student athletes to use their likeness and profit off their name. Just circling back on that really quick, Representative, has that one gotten the governor's signature yet? I lost track of that.
Not yet. The governor has indicated that he will sign it. Hopefully it is coming in the next few days. I know he was out of town today, so hopefully when he gets back, That's the first thing on his list. I hope somebody can tell him that I said that. because we want to get that signed as quick as possible. But he has indicated that he will sign it.
Okay, that's interesting. So that will likely pass. I know other states have passed it, too. Back to the Supreme Court ruling. Justice Kavanaugh seemed very bothered by the disparate realities between those playing college sports and those profiting from them. Just reading from his opinion here, I want to ask you about this. Bottom line is that NCAA and its member colleges are suppressing the pay of student-athletes who collectively generate billions of dollars in revenues for colleges every year. Those enormous sums of money flow to seemingly everyone except the student-athletes. College presidents, athletic directors, coaches, conference commissioners, and NCAA executives take in six- and seven-figure salaries. Colleges build lavish new facilities, but the student-athletes who generate the revenues, many of whom are African-American and from lower-income backgrounds, end up with little or nothing. Just to put a finer point on it, he ended, "Nowhere else in America can businesses get away with agreeing not to pay their workers a fair market rate on the theory their product is defined by not paying their workers that rate." Karen Conti, who joined us earlier, said she seemed to think that the whole thing was moving to in the direction of actually paying student athletes. And we're already hearing from some listeners who say, wait a minute, they get scholarships. Now they're going to get, you know, perks and educational perks and that kind of thing. Still waiting to define that. You get housing and food and room and board and all that stuff. Should they be paid as well? What do you think, Representative?
So look, I'll start off by saying Justice Kavanaugh's concurring opinion, to me, it really blew me away. I think there's no secret. I'm a Democrat, and there's not, you know, I don't have much ideological alignment with Brett Kavanaugh in many instances. But I had to read the opinion last night twice because it sounded like I wrote it, and it really was right on par. And I think he's absolutely right. I also would agree with Karen that it does seem that the shift is moving towards compensation and the writing is on the wall. I think, and I've said this before, I think we've got to be smart and careful about how we do it. I think we've got to figure out, you know, the best way to put this forth. But what I also would submit to you, Anna, is that I think this also creates an opportunity for schools who are bold, schools who are intrepid, to decide they want to sever their relationship with the NCAA. And I would hope that there's somebody out here smarter than me right now thinking about how to create a competitor organization, a competitor association to the NCAA that would be a member home for schools who, you know, want to actually try the compensation thing out. A lot of what the Supreme Court said about the NCAA was based on the antitrust issues we talked about before. And antitrust issues come from the NCAA being the only game in town. But why not? Why shouldn't there be another route for those schools who want to actually test those waters out?
I guess my question is, on its face, it sounds okay. It's moving in that direction. Maybe that is the direction it should move in. Doesn't it just sort of upset the whole nature of college sports entirely? I mean, if you think about the richest schools will now afford the best athletes. Harvard, with its $100 billion endowment, will be able to pay the most for athletes, presumably. They'll be the best at all sports. And doesn't it sort of just upset the whole thing against state schools? And I mean, I don't know. I'm just trying to think what this might mean.
It does flip the entire landscape as we know it on its head. And I think a lot of that is you know, the threat that we run of that is really because the NCAA has done a really horrible job of being creative, of being forward-leaning and looking at what the future looks like while trying to be fair. They kind of sat back and said, hey, we want Congress to do this, or we want somebody else to do this. The fact that the Supreme Court, state legislatures, and Congress are all the ones that are you know, making these decisions for the NCAA when they should have done a lot of this themselves really speaks to their hands-off approach as they continue to rake in money hand over foot as a nonprofit, quote-unquote, entity. I do worry about what the unintended consequences are, which is why I say we got to make sure we're intentional about it and we're running the traps and looking at, you know, what the consequences may be. But I think that, once again, I think the writing is on the wall and we're very close now to
sorry about that, Representative. I don't know what that was, but finish your thought.
No, I think it's obvious now, and the writing's on the wall, that we're very close to the tide shifting. And so the question is, do we fight it, or do we find a way to make it effective for all of the stakeholders that are involved there, and do most importantly, do the right thing, do the fair thing.
Yeah, well, I hope you're involved in those conversations. You have a unique and rich experience in this area, and it just seems as if there are going to be a lot of decisions that need to be made here. I mean, it's like, oh my gosh, it's going to just open things up in such a major way, really.
Yeah, it really is. And I'm happy that Illinois has been a leader in this, and that we've kind of molded some of this conversation. And I hope that as we continue these conversations, we're doing it not based on what's the best thing for necessarily the schools or the presidents or the conference presidents, but the young men and women who go out and they entertain us every day on the field or on the basketball court, on the soccer pitch in the swimming pool. These are the young people who really are the ambassadors specifically for our state schools, for our flagship universities, for our directional schools. And we have not shown them the respect and the equity that we should have for a very long time. And so hopefully every conversation from now on out is centered around them and what their needs are and how we best meet those.
Yeah, well, let's keep the conversation going here, too. I appreciate your time, Representative, and keep us posted, please.
Thank you. I appreciate you all.